Good morning, my friends, and welcome back to the fourth and final hour of our Friday edition of Frankly Speaking Radio. Very pleased to have you with us. Our guest, of course, John Moore, wrapping up his nationwide speaking engagement, talking about Planet X. Tonight is his last appearance. It's happening, what did you say, John, right outside Topeka, Kansas?
Right. Well, it's in Topeka, okay. The Prophecy Club headquarters.
Yes. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. And what time is that at?
That'll be at 7 p.m. this evening.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, we appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be here with us this morning. Very, very important things going on there. And, folks, if you have questions, 1-800-313-9443 is the call-in number. You're invited to call in. We have about an hour, and then John will be on his way, and you'll have to track him down on your own time. Of course, our website has links to his website, and that's franklyspeakingradio.com. John, welcome back. We talked about all these different activities happening all over the planet. I also found some stories about a pole shifting, not just with the Earth, but with the sun. We are due for a pole shift of the sun in 2012, which I think is very intriguing, given the historical significance of that date as far as ancient cultures and how they've always saw that as a very, very big, I guess, point as far as where we will be heading.
Yes.
And with the sun's activities, I'd have to think this plays a part.
Well, absolutely. And it would stand to reason that if the sun's poles changed, that there would be significant new solar activity that we had never seen before, just because of that disruption. So that would be a real event, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely. All of these different things are very intriguing. You know, you've got the tsunami and the earthquake that happened on the 26th. Someone pointed out to me that I should really start paying attention to not just the military deployments, but helicopter deployments, because that's primarily how they're moving aid in and out. So I did, and I discovered, John, it's something that you probably already knew, that there were significant amount of helicopters being deployed to areas like Taiwan, supposedly for, help and different things that they were going to do. But I thought, how intriguing that it would seem to me that they were ready for this. And now we're seeing a lot of effects as a result of the tsunami. You're seeing the United Nations and the United States sort of hand in hand trying to help the world out. You see foreign troops now in Indonesia, and the Indonesian government starting to get concerned about this, all on the heels of a natural disaster. Now they're talking about malaria spreading over there. And that indicates to me a forced vaccination program. It's for your own good, people. Take it. This is how it's got to be. Now, if we have a catastrophic event in this country, be it a natural disaster or manufactured terrorist event, we're going to have to see military troops on U.S. soil to help out. Now, because the U.N. has headquarters here, that certainly seems to indicate that they would be involved. You factor in that pretty much all active duty military personnel, reserve forces, and National Guardsmen are all abroad. What does that mean for us here in the U.S.?
Well, it means that I see no conflict between the message that we've been putting out on Republic Broadcasting Network and this issue. The New World Order will attempt to use any event like this to their advantage and make the outcome come out the way they choose. So if they want to consolidate power and have a one-world government, any pretext, any event that can be used to their advantage, they will exploit. Of course they'll exploit it.
Sure.
And that's why I see no conflict between the traditional message being put out by people like Alex Jones, Republic Broadcasting Network, and this Planet X matter.
And, of course, this show as well.
And Frank Whalen's message.
Well, nudge, wink, wink.
Lumping you in with Republic Broadcasting Network.
I got you, buddy. I'm just messing with you.
Not giving any specific credit there.
Yeah, I just like to give you some crap, John. It's fun. folks, another quick break. We'll be right back. We'll talk about some more things. We'll take some more phone calls and, of course, have more of the show. Stay with us. Good morning, folks, and welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, heard around the world, courtesy of the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen, at least the host of this show. Our guest today is a host in his own right and a brilliant speaker who's been doing decades and decades of work to bring people the truth, painful as it may be, for their own betterment, for their own personal safety, for their own empowerment, their own personal edification. Ladies and gentlemen, the true hero, John Moore. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, Frank. Good morning.
Very glad to have you. And, you know, I was just talking about how it would seem that some of this aid was maybe put in place in advance. Now, some people are saying that this is perhaps man-made weather activity. Now, I know that these technologies do exist. There's significant amounts of proof, very credible proof, that these technologies and patents are all out there. Now, I don't believe it was man-made. I do think, however, that they perhaps had a heads-up on it, and that they perhaps are using their best to exploit any opportunity to further the New World Order agenda, as you would expect them to do. Now, there's a further evidence of this perhaps foreknowledge, and that would seem to be the Pentagon climate report. Now, you read some of that earlier, and it's very powerful. Now, the other thing is that supposedly was a top-secret document which got leaked to the media. Now, it didn't get leaked to the media here, but rather over there in England for the most part, from what I understand. But that seems to me to be utilizing their lapdogs, the mainstream media, to get the information out as the government would prefer it to be out. Now, they took that and ran with it, saying, ha, Bush knows global warming is a reality, when in actuality I saw it completely differently.
Okay, well, let's back up here a bit. First of all, the complete report is available from the people that did the work, Global Business Network. And this report, this particular report, is not classified. I regard it as a sanitized report. That's how I would regard it, a sanitized version of something that really would be classified. Now, for those people who might have friends and relatives who believe global warming is a clear and present danger, and it's caused by that knucklehead's SUV next door, and that the Kyoto Protocol is part of the solution, here's how you can tell that it's not, that being the Kyoto Protocols. The Kyoto Protocols are based on the premise that global warming is a clear and present danger to our planet and all plant and animal and human life. That's the premise of the Kyoto Protocols, and that greenhouse gases created by human activity are the cause, and we need to cut back, and it's an emergency. Here's how you can tell that's a complete fraud. If it was, everything they said, and it was an emergency, they would not give 5 billion people, and that's what we're talking about, the entire third world, 5 billion people, a free pass to make all the greenhouse gases they want. And that's what the Kyoto Protocols do. They allow most of the planet to continue making greenhouse gases as fast and as much as they want to. That's how any thinking person can look at the Kyoto Protocols and know that the whole thing's a fraud.
Wow. Excellent point.
Yes.
Excellent point. So that having been said, the true purpose then of the climate report would be for what purpose? Because what I got out of it is that all wars in the future would be fought purely for the elements that we need to survive, food, water, and energy. If you factor that in and then you take a good look at what's going on, well, here you've got Afghanistan, poppy production, a significant amount of cash, which can buy those necessary elements. Then you've got Iraq, oil, and a stable base there in the Middle East to perhaps launch into Iran or Syria. Iran, of course, having the second largest admitted oil reserves in the world. Syria having, as they said yesterday in some of these articles, billions and billions of dollars of Saddam Hussein's money. So obviously the money would be good for us there. And so on and so forth. You can truly see these things happen. But in that report, they talk about the state of things and that people would, there would be a nuclear arms race to try to acquire them as much of these things as possible.
Well, I look at it a bit different here, Frank. The entire global warming issue, it popped up about 1985. And at the beginning of 1985 and going to the current issue of the Economist magazine that I just quoted from earlier in the show, published in London, it's a means of distraction to convince educated thinking people that global warming is caused by something other than what it really is caused by. And the purpose of this is to maintain order. They don't want the owners of all these businesses all over the world to cash out and move to the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks. That would cause severe disruption, leading to other problems.
I see.
There's many, many thousands of small business owners worth $1 million and more. Thousands of them in the United States alone. And they work because they love it. They want to set up something to pass on to their children and so forth. They could easily cash out and say, I'm out of here. And if more than 2 or 3% did that, it would cause immediate and severe crisis economically in this country. They don't want that to happen. So these people are college educated, most of them. They read the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times. They know what's going on to the best of their satisfaction. And these things like the Pentagon report and Tony Blair's article are to keep these people satisfied and distracted from the real cause.
It's an excellent assessment, my friend. Let's go and take some more phone calls here, folks. If you got something you'd like to say, we will take your calls. Happy to do it. Again, this is an important issue that needs to be explored on so many different levels. 1-800-313-9443. Toll free, 1-800-313-9443. Daryl in France, welcome to the show.
Hi, Frank. Sorry to be a pest over here, but
no,
I
want
to call John. John, I'm very grateful for the opportunity to sit in on your show, and I thought I would take this opportunity to thank you personally.
Well, thank you, Daryl, for jumping right in there. We needed the help.
Well, it's been a great experience for me, and I got a new level of respect for people doing the work of broadcasting. It's quite a difficult thing when you're faced with a couple of hours to fill, and then we're talking to Frank over here, the master. He has to fill 4 hours every day. It's an astonishing challenge, but
If you do 4 hours of radio a day, you're not going to be doing too much else.
No.
No. Seriously.
No, you know, one of the things is I tried to organize enough stuff to keep myself busy for the 2 hours, and I was able to do that. However,
it's challenging, isn't it?
Yes, it's not only challenging, you don't want to fall flat on your face, and I had some fears going into it, but it worked out well.
No dead air. That's the big bugaboo.
No dead air. your conversations today are astonishing. They're amazing. And one of the things that I have pointed out to people when I talk to them about this issue is that, as you pointed out, it doesn't mean that you don't have to believe or not believe it. What you need to understand is that the issues are all about being prepared. And I think in your presentations on your show, I've always heard you talk about preparation. And you're going to need to be prepared regardless of the cause of this mayhem that we're facing in the future. And so I ask people to don't even debate the facts, just get prepared.
That's
and
always wise. Planet X or no Planet X, it's always wise.
That's right. And so, because, you know, the whole issue, I think, is preparation, and I've been pushing that really hard. But, again, I just wanted to spend a second here and say thank you very much. And, Frank, it's as usual, fantastic. I just wanted to say hi.
Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, Darryl.
Bye-bye.
Excellent, excellent point. Well, it's always good when people can sort of, and this is that's really a metaphor, an example of what we all need to do. Walk a mile in somebody else's shoes maybe for a second, get an idea what that's all about. So I certainly appreciate that, Daryl. It's wonderful to know that you're doing such a good thing. And I know John can focus on the task at hand, which is, of course, bringing the people this information and not worry about the show. So that's wonderful. Now, John, I think you touched on a great point, which is that really survival and preparation, really, for anything, is boy, I tell you what, you can't go wrong with that. You know, if you're looking at these things and you say, I tell people, hey, why not go buy some canned food? It's not going to go to waste. It's not going to expire or spoil. And if you don't need it because of a calamity, a catastrophe of some sort, then all you do is you're set for peas for a long time.
Well,
you know, what's the problem?
True. Most forms of most, and this is just another form of insurance. That's what preparation is a form of insurance. And with every other form of insurance, you get a stack of canceled checks to show for your efforts, unless you happen to have a car wreck or need the health care provided by your health insurance. But the first and foremost part of preparation, and I use the example of prisoner war camps, where you have hundreds of young men between 20 and 40 years old starting out at the same starting point, more or less healthy, eating the same food, wearing the same clothes, doing the same work, living in the same buildings. Some of these POWs will live and some will die. The ones that live almost all the time have a strong spiritual belief and a strong positive mental attitude. The atheists die. They curl up in a corner. They say, don't talk to me. They stop eating, they stop drinking, and they die. And we know for a fact from the POW camp experiences that the men who with a strong spiritual belief are much more likely to survive that experience than those who don't have that. That's the first and foremost thing in preparation.
Wow. That's amazing. And that would be because of hope, I would assume.
They have hope, and they have faith, and they believe in themselves, and they believe in their Lord Jesus. Those are the men most likely to survive under those conditions. The POWs in Hanoi, in the Hanoi Hilton, the ones that survived had those strong beliefs.
That's amazing. And it's such an important fact that I'm glad you brought up. You know, people, the biggest problem we have is a lack of hope, is a lack of faith, and is the presence of fear. And I think by preparing and facing it, looking it right in the eye, it's not so scary anymore. It's simply just another obstacle to duck around. Another quick break. We'll be right back, folks. More with John Moore and more Frankly Speaking Radio after this.
In my head, singing loud.
Good morning, folks, and welcome back to Friday's edition here of Frankly Speaking Radio, heard around the world on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Glad to have you aboard here, my friends. 35 minutes and counting. That's about how much time we have with our guest today, John Moore. John, welcome back to the show. So pleased to have you with us.
Thank you.
You know, so much of this stuff that we've been talking about involves preparation, and that is what we really need to see. And I think that Daryl hit the nail on the head, and you and I stressed it as well. Other of our wonderful callers who have brought this point up here stressed, let's look at the commonality. The whole entire world is a jigsaw puzzle, and every single thing, no matter how disparate it may seem, is a piece of the larger picture.
Absolutely.
We just need to be able to follow the strands of that little tiny web and see how it connects. So when you're looking at this, what is the common theme here, which is preparation? Not fear, not panic, not anything, just simple preparation. And
the next step after you get your spiritual life in order, which is the most important, is getting in the best physical condition and building your immune system to the best of your ability, given your age and your health history. If you haven't been to a doctor for a checkup, go and find out what your starting point is. Now, everybody's going to have different abilities. Now, as I mentioned, sometimes in front of these audiences, a 25-year-old Army Ranger can carry a 95-pound backpack every day for 2 weeks up and down the hills. That same 25-year-old Army Ranger can't carry 200 pounds up and down those hills for 2 weeks. You know, he has limitations. Everybody has limitations. You need to work within them. Don't get distressed that you have limitations, because that's just the human condition. We all have limitations. Work within them and develop your body to the best you can, developing aerobic strength and anaerobic strength. Aerobic strength is the ability to move about, walking, running, whatever it might be. Anaerobic strength is the ability to lift weight, whatever that weight might be. It might be a bag of books, it might be your grandchild, it might be a backpack. Work on developing those strengths. Work on developing your immune system. Seek out a professional person, probably a chiropractor, who knows about nutrition and can give professional advice customized for you. There are books that are very helpful. The one I like the best is Eat Right for Your Blood Type. However,
it's an excellent book.
However, that book will not and cannot give specific nutritional advice given your age and your health situation. You need professional nutritional advice from a person qualified to test you and let you know what you need. So that's the second building block.
Mm-hmm.
After that, a person needs to look at acquiring skills. The first and most important skill is the skill of life-saving through first aid and CPR. Start out with a Red Cross course. It's not much, but it's a beginning. Red Cross first aid and CPR training can save a life. I urge people to consider looking at their local junior college that teaches paramedics and emergency medical technicians. It's a bit more time, a bit more investment, not a lot of money, but some money. And at the end of that kind of training, you'll have some very serious life-saving skills that can keep a person alive until you can get to where the real doctors and the real emergency rooms are.
Excellent advice.
And build a kit equal to your skill level. There's no sense having a $500 kit that an EMT carries if you don't know what those devices and materials are in there and don't know how to use them. So build a kit equal to your skill level when it comes to first aid and CPR.
That's excellent advice.
So,
now, you know, one of the things that I've talked about here, John, is that, you know, a lot of people look at this from a very advanced perspective, and I may just talk us here to the break, so you may have to respond afterwards. And they look at it from, you know, I've got money, so I'm going to take my house and I'm going to make it a fortress. I'm going to beef up all the walls. I'm going to, you know, spray lead paint on the outside so they can't beam in there with their little beams. And I'm going to build a safe room, and I'm going to have an armory downstairs, and years and years worth of supply of food, and all these different things, and gold bars everywhere. And they're ready to go. And then I say, well, what if you have to leave your house? And
right.
Then they're kind of like, I never thought about that. So when we come back from the break here,
okay.
I want to definitely have you address the idea of maybe just a quick on-the-run, bare bones, what can you get by on sort of thing. And maybe if the listeners out there have any tips, tricks that they would like information on, like, John Moore, I have a question. What about if you're looking for this? What about if you need to do this? What's a good way to build a shelter? Anything like that. I just want to open it up because, John, you are an untapped resource, and we could talk to you for every day for the entire 4 hours, and I seriously doubt we'd even scratch the surface on the stuff that you know. So that's why it's so good to have you here. And, of course, you're going to be in Topeka in about, 9.5 hours from now,
right.
If my math holds up, which it usually does not. And people can get information. The phone number on that stuff is all listed at John's website, which is thelibertyman.com. You can link up through our website if you go today. You'll see John's name at our guest list, franklyspeakingradio.com. We'll come back, and we'll take your calls on the air, and we'll chat with John some more. So please stay with us. Good morning, folks. Welcome back. The show is Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Will, and glad to have you aboard. And John Moore is still with us. Very pleased and honored to have so much of his time today. Only 25 minutes left. If you'd like to chat with John, with myself, or comment on anything that's been stated, feel free to do so. The number, of course, is 1-800-313-9443. Toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Of course, talking about Planet X, we're talking about survival, we're talking about natural disasters, peculiar weather, and the truth behind it all, and that is that big changes are coming, my friends. I think we've all seen it. This is a time of biblical events, it would seem, and as is always the case, people say, and John, you can comment on this too before we respond to the last statement that I made, but a lot of people say, oh, you know, these crazy wackos, every generation they say, oh, this is the end times, this is the end times. My response is, so what? If you're preparing for it, you can't go wrong. If you go ahead and you freak out about it and you go and you sell your house and your possessions and you just buy lottery tickets or you just buy, you know, some crack and go on a spree with some prostitutes, well, that's just idiocy. But if you prepare correctly, I think that there's nothing wrong with preparing for the worst at any time, at any generation, for any purpose.
I agree, Frank, absolutely, of course. And my message is you have to walk a fine line between continuing to be the responsible adult who goes to work, pays the mortgage and lives what appears to be a normal life on one hand, and making preparations that are prudent and don't break the family budget on the other hand. And that's the fine line that many people have to walk, and the people I advise and consult with have to walk. And it's not easy. It can be done, but it's not easy, and it takes some thought and some prioritizing that might be a bit different, and giving up watching professional sports in person, perhaps, and using that money and that time to acquire skills and prepare that would be spent sitting at the local football stadium or basketball or baseball stadium.
It's an excellent point. Good advice always. Now, I want to talk a little bit about sort of like a quick kit. If you had to get some things together, yes, you can make your house a fortress, and that's fine and dandy, but ultimately, again, you never know what could happen. Maybe you build an underground shelter, and then your town floods. Well, what are you going to do then if your underground shelter is all flooded? Are you going to open the door and climb down in there and have all the water go too? There's so many different things that we can't forecast. We can only prepare for, you know, either the most basic needs, or we can go ahead and speculate every possible scenario and try to cover them all. Either way, the point is that don't put all your eggs in one basket is my opinion. And I would like to know maybe some ideas of what people should have ready to go if they should need to hit the road.
Well, you always need a fallback position. And in the event you need to go, ideally, you would have a place where people are expecting you with open arms and there's provisions there stocked and waiting for you as well. Now, getting from point A to point B could be quite a challenge, especially if you can't use an internal combustion engine, at least in the form of a car or SUV, leaving you with alternative choices. Maybe it would be a all-terrain vehicle or a motorcycle or a mountain bike, and last but not least, your feet. Always have a good pair of walking shoes that will properly support and protect your feet, given the terrain and the climate you've got to deal with. Obviously, if you're in an area where there's going to be a lot of cold and snow, you need the insulated foot gear. If not, you still need proper support and protection of your feet from the rocks and from the terrain to get you from where you are to where you're going. And a $20 pair of walking shoes from Walmart won't do that. You need to spend a little money and get the right foot gear. And make sure you got proper socks. People have complained about cold feet with $200 insulated boots. It turned out they were wearing cotton socks. You know, what a surprise. And the mistake men and women make who haven't done this, as far as backpacking is concerned, is they want to pack up a lot more stuff than they could ever possibly hope to carry for one full day, let alone a week at a time. Don't get carried away with trying to carry too much stuff. And you need to practice. Sitting in your armchair and theorizing is one thing. Getting out in the bush and carrying the stuff on your back, that's reality. And reality is a real tough wake-up call for men and women who haven't done this before. Wanting to purchase and carry every gadget at the local sporting goods store is not going to work. You'll end up throwing stuff away and buying things that don't work, or buying things that don't work in the manner in which you think they might work. Learning how to have the skills of the backpacker, preparing food on an open fire, learning proper field hygiene, how to clean yourself, brush your teeth, shave, and so forth in the field, those are the kind of skills that will keep you alive and the kind of skills that can't be acquired by reading a book. You need to get out and do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's excellent advice. And I know full well exactly what you mean. I mean, just a simple comparison. Anyone who's ever bought a book on hiking trails knows that what you read in that book looks nothing like what it looks like when you're out there. You're saying, where's that damn spot of blue spray paint here to tell me where my trail is? You're absolutely right, John. It's a practical application, folks, and it is well worth it. And there's nothing wrong with going out there and learning. For example, you got to learn, you got to know how to start fire, how to find water, how to find food, how to filter water. What food is edible? What food is not? How do you prepare? How do you catch fish if you don't have fishing gear? These are all good things, and it's not necessarily something that has to be a burden on you. I find it to be enjoyable. I like going out, you know, get a couple friends and go out there and just see what you can do. So you know what? Let's just challenge ourselves. We'll get the car. We'll drive out there. We'll try to stay the whole weekend and try to, you know, get by on food we find and water we filter and stuff like that. But if, you know, if we can't do it, if we decide to, just cop out, we'll just jump back in the car, come home, and sit in luxurious, lazy splendor here at the house, you know. So you can make it fun, enjoyable, and of course a learning process as well. And the other thing I would like to stress and get your take on, John, I have found that a lot of the sporting goods stores are way overpriced for half the quality. I prefer Army Navy surplus stores.
Well, I do myself,
yeah.
And of course, I'm very familiar and comfortable with military gear and military equipment. It's not nearly as attractive as the shiny stuff you find at the sporting goods store on one hand. On the other, you don't want bright colors when you're out in the bush trying to stay alive. And it's real easy to get caught up buying things you don't need. I never take a tent in the bush, ever. I use two ponchos, one to sleep on and one to sleep under. I tie it between a couple of trees or sticks if there's no trees, and that's my shelter. I never take a tent. That's another couple of pounds that I don't need to be carrying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Men who just get exposed to this, they'll carry enough ammunition to go through a couple of wars, or try to. You don't want to be intentionally engaging in combat. You want to be avoiding conflict. You want to be avoiding conflict. And sure, if you have a firearm, you're going to need some ammunition. But the whole idea is to not be seen and not need it in the first place.
Excellent, excellent point.
You want to avoid conflict and contact with human beings out there in the bush. Now, you touched on, you didn't use the term, but what you were touching on was living off the land. Now, I'll tell you, if you haven't done this before, you'll spend all your time doing the two following things: finding food, preparing it, and eating it.
It's exhausting.
That's all you'll be doing. You won't be doing anything else. It's a incredibly time-consuming behavior and endeavor to live off the land, as it's referred to. That's all you'll be doing. And if you haven't done it before, you won't be terribly successful. So
that's true.
Oh, it is.
Because, I mean, if you think about the amount of energy that we expend, I don't know, sitting in my car with the heater running saying, I'll take two Big Macs, please.
Right.
You know, you're not going to burn off those calories that you're eating, but yet when you're out in the woods, for example, you could spend a significant amount of energy and time looking for the food, and then once you get it, it doesn't have the caloric intake that you would need to sustain further activity.
Well, when you look at primitive peoples, you don't see any fat primitive peoples.
No,
you don't.
No chunky cavemen.
Oh, no.
No, you're right about that.
No. They're very thin, and that's for a reason. I mean, it's a combination of the physical activity they have and their diet. And unless they're living in a very plentiful area, they're going to spend most of their time searching for, preparing, and eating food.
Yep, that's an excellent point. We got a couple of calls in here, and folks, if you have, this is the kind of stuff that everybody wants to hear. John, they're always saying, Frank, what if I don't know what to do? What are some good suggestions? Things like that. So I hope people will take advantage of this generous offering of your time here. And
well, I charge $2,000 a day for doing private consultations.
Wow. Well, I hate to tell you, buddy, but don't send me an invoice because I ain't paying it. I can't pay it. I'm in radio. 1-800-313-9443, an invaluable service and offering, very generous from our friend John Moore. Take advantage of these opportunities, my friends. Again, Lots and lots of questions that I have. But let's see what you guys are thinking. Drew and Little Rock, welcome to the show.
Great show. Thank you for taking my call. And,
of course.
Thank you for being on the show, John. I have a $2,000 question for you.
Okay. I got a $2,000 answer.
You go to these seminars. Obviously, you inform these people how they network together. I really appreciated your comment earlier about advising people not to buy so much stuff that they can't take it with them if when they have to leave because of a flood or because of a takeover, et cetera. My question to you is what is your philosophy on how people to network together to find out, you know, who they need or who they are best suited to go and like mind to set up another community that is going to be able to survive, because as you stated earlier, a 25-year-old Marine that's with his duty pack of today cannot carry a 45-year-old lady's backpack at the same time for 2 weeks. There has to be some communication here, and if you've got a bunch of people that can go out there, how do these people get together? My question is, how do these people get together?
Okay. First of all, if you can work with family members, you're far, far better off. The last thing you want to do is put an ad in one of these national magazines to meet people. Don't do that. The places you're likely to find people of like mind would be your local shooting club, if there's a shooting club. Some people might be interested. Ham radio operators tend to be people that might be interested. Anybody involved in activities like scuba diving or what we call orienteering. Sometimes veterans, sometimes not. It's just hard. Paintballers would be another possibility. People who are active in activities that are related to what we're talking about. Your local firefighters and paramedics and policemen, deputy sheriffs. Not all of them, but some of them. And they're just people, too.
Okay,
just because you're a paramedic doesn't mean you have any knowledge or interest in what we're talking about, but at least that person has the skills that are very helpful.
And the reason I ask all that is because most of the listeners in this audience right now do not understand the catastrophic events that are about to occur and that are going to be mind-boggling, and it's hard for Americans to visualize 7 million people dying in one day.
It is.
And not for you and me, but it's
right.
for most of the listeners out there.
It's difficult, and if you happen to be in where these things are happening, it's not a matter of speculation. It's in your face right now.
Yes, sir. My next question is, as you and I, being former military, we understood what bug out meant.
Right.
And in most of these people that are listening today need to understand that. And I ask your confirmation that they need to have their bug out gear ready to go. And as you stated earlier, be prepared. In getting out, they may not be able to use that car, but if they could use that car, they need to have that emergency supply gear limited, already boxed up and ready to go. Am I not right?
Absolutely. Your bug-out bag, which should be a backpack that you're comfortable with carrying, should be with you in your vehicle at all times.
Okay. Enough said with all of it. God bless you. Keep up the great work. I wish I was in Topeka, Kansas. I'm assuming that you're going to have some videos available for these.
The video will be available in 4 to 6 weeks.
Yes, sir. Okay. God bless you. God bless you, Frank. Keep up
the
great work. We'll keep our eyes out.
Thanks a lot, Drew. Take care. You know, this is a great opportunity, and people are calling in. We're going to try to squeeze in as many as we can here, folks. Bear with me. Also, I would like to recommend, as John said, get some a core group of people you can trust, some people you know you can really count on. And one of those people actually on the line right now, Wes in Arkansas. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Gentlemen.
Wes.
John, I just wanted to say thank you, one, for your practical solutions. You know, it's simple for a lot of people to go out and just strip a check for, you know, whatever it takes to do whatever. But, you know, you give practical solutions that the average guy, that anybody can take advantage of. And I
absolutely
think that's the most valuable thing that you're offering. Is
right.
It's affordable for anybody. And, Frank, why do you keep bagging on my house?
Bagging on your fortress? I'm not bagging on your fortress. You know, if I need to, when the fit hits the shan, Frank's on his way to your house. So, but in the same time, if you know, we need to leave your house, I'll still have my bags packed. So,
you know, you're welcome, buddy.
I appreciate
guys.
That.
We appreciate you.
Take care, buddy. Bye bye. I know we have a call from Texas, but I missed the name. Let's go to the phones here. Who do we got? Dick in Texas. Welcome to the show.
Unfortunately, it starts at 6, and I don't get up until 8, so I'm not sure exactly what you've covered. But I thought it was extremely ominous yesterday that we sent a space probe to intercept that big rock somewhere, you know, 4th of July. And supposedly, just the deep impact thing, and supposedly when the scientific instruments hit this piece of rock, it said it's going to have an explosion big enough to be seen for Earth. Now, that sounds like a hydrogen bomb to me instead of space instrumentation and something like that should happen. Is that a possibility that they have actually sent something up to try to explode this comet that's coming?
Well, obviously it's possible. On the other hand, if you want to find out some science, you need to be aware of Professor Jim McCanny. Professor McCanny is the best credentialed scientist speaking publicly that I'm aware of on these matters. I've got a link to his website on my website, and he's got several books published on these matters, and I would encourage everybody who wants to understand science to check out Professor McCanny.
What is his website?
We've got a link. It's Jim McCanny Science, I believe.
JMcCannyScience.com.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Dick. We have a link on our site as well. Of course, that's franklyspeakingradio.com. A link there to our guest today, John Moore. And, folks, we'll come right back and wrap up the big show. Stay with us. Good morning, folks, and welcome back. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, heard worldwide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. I'm not going to waste any time. Of course, our guest, John Moore, is here. And last call of the week here. Mike in Indiana, go ahead, my friend.
Hi, guys. Good job. Good job, John. You
thanks,
guys
Mike.
Are doing a great job. Hey, I just want to address one thing real quick, and maybe you can say something about it. I'll get off the air and listen. The magnetics and electronics coming from this Planet X thing, I'm sure it's going to really cause a lot of havoc with like compasses and also with electronic gear. So we got to probably not depend too much on that. And I'll listen to you off the air.
Mike, excellent question.
Okay,
John, perfect way to close out.
Absolutely. Well, magnetic north has been changing for a number of years. Anybody involved in aircraft navigation or navigation of watercraft knows what we're talking about. And, in fact, it's so bad in some areas that the FAA has had to change the numbers on the ends of some of the runways. The numbers, of course, indicate magnetic north. And magnetic north has changed so much that they've had to repaint the ends of some of the runways. And that's just simple scientific fact. That is happening and ongoing. Now, it kind of gives me a lead into something else. And that's encouraging people to acquire the skills of using a map and compass. And gentlemen, don't rely on GPS, because anything that has a battery, you don't want to rely your life on it if you can help it. So
excellent point.
This is important.
Yes.
If you need to get out to Uncle Bob's house 60 miles away and you can't use the highway, you better know how to use a map and compass. It's going to be about a six-day journey if you've got small children or older people with you going 10 miles a day.
Yes.
And navigating cross-country with a map and compass is a skill. It's something you can learn. In fact, this is something you can learn at your kitchen table. And then go out and practice those skills in your local park, national forest, wherever you might have access to walking cross-country using a topographical map and a compass. It's simple. Anybody can learn this. given a little bit of time and a little bit of practice. And it can save your life, literally.
I think that is amazing advice. Certainly something we all should be aware of. And John, maybe if I could convince you and if we could get together at some point, maybe you could, offer some kind of deal where people could come into town and, you take them out on a weekend, something like a big group of us. Like we could all get together and do something like that.
That's a possibility.
Is it? Okay, great.
Well, we can talk off the air about the concept.
Yeah, because I know you're only a state away, and that's not too bad. So we'll take what you can get.
Well,
certainly.
It would be more practical for people to have a group than I go there, as opposed to people loading up a bus and coming to me.
No doubt. But you're pretty close to where I am, and we have a huge listenership here in the Northwest Arkansas area that I know is just...
Well, I love Northwest Arkansas.
I know. It's the place to be.
It's God's country.
Amen, sir. Certainly we all will walk into this unknown future a little more prepared, courtesy of the brilliance and knowledge and generosity of spirit of our guest today, John Moore. I can't thank you enough, my friend. You are a hero, and we are just thrilled to death to have you.
Thank you, Frank. It's been a great time this past couple of hours here.
Yeah, for me too. Now, again, last chance to catch the live performance, John Moore at this Planet X speaking engagement. Last one taking place, of course, tonight in Topeka. Information available on John's website at thelibertyman.com. You can link up to that directly from our website. You'll see it says John Moore's schedule, and that's at franklyspeakingradio.com. And, John, you have an 800 number. I don't know if anybody's there to answer it, but I should strongly encourage people to pick up your book and your video. The book about personal safety, I think it's a great thing. You got kids going off to college, especially daughters. A great book for them
Absolutely.
To have. And the videotape about family preparations for terrorism.
Absolutely.
And do you want to give the number out or no?
Oh, it's on the website.
Okay.
If people want to find it, it's there. Yeah.
John, travel safely, my friend.
Okay.
We need you. We need you safe and sound always. So you
Thank
take
you.
Care.
Appreciate it.
Good luck tonight. And folks, have a great weekend. We will see you bright and early Monday morning, 6 a.m. Have a good one.